Hi, I'm Simon.
I am Bui.
And I'm Yana.
And this is Waking Up in South Africa, Mindfulness Informed Conversations, Episode 2. And we welcome back anybody who joined us for our first episode and anybody who's joining us now for the first time. Wonderful to have you as part of our growing listenership to explore how mindfulness practices and mindfulness approaches can serve us to be more awake and more wakeful in the world, especially during this current crisis that all of us are immersed in and are grappling with at this time. So episode 2, we've entitled, If You Can't Go Outside, Go Inside, which is actually a little meme that's doing the rounds on social media. When I first saw it, and I think all three of us have seen it, a little animation. And of course, it speaks to the reality at some level that we are all now being asked to be homebound, to be isolated and separated in our physical places, wherever those may be. We almost literally can't go outside. If you're fortunate enough to have a garden, maybe you can go a little bit outside. Many people who are listening wouldn't necessarily have a garden. So the memes inviting us to go inside if you can't go outside, which of course is going inside your own body mind, going inside your own awareness. And this sounds like a wonderful thing to do. And in many ways it is, but it also represents some challenges. So very real challenges. And by way of giving some context to this discussion about going inside, I want to share a little bit of science that was published in the journal Science. Now, for those who don't follow academic journals, which is almost everybody, Science is rated, the journal Science is rated as one of the most significant of all the academic journals, certainly the academic science journals. And this was an article published in 2014, and the lead author was a guy called Timothy Wilson. And I'm just going to read the title and the abstract at the beginning to frame our conversation. The title is of this article is Just Think, The Challenges of the Disengaged Mind. In 11 studies, we found that participants typically did not enjoy spending 6 to 15 minutes in a room by themselves with nothing to do but think, that they enjoyed doing mundane external activities much more, and that many preferred to administer electric shocks to themselves instead of being left alone with their thoughts. Most people seem to prefer to be doing something rather than nothing, even if that something is negative. So I'll just read that. If one line is that really stands out there. Many people prefer to administer electrical shocks to themselves instead of being left alone with their own thoughts. So this is a superb piece of science and a little bit alarming if we think about it. And just to maybe add here with a slight note of humor is that in the body of the article, that difficulty of being with one's own thoughts and rather getting electrical shock was much more prevalent in men. 65% of men shocked themselves rather than sit quietly, and only 25% of women. So all those women out there, you are on a good wicket in terms of in this lockdown for sure. The reality is that many of us are now facing the shutdown, the lockdown in various ways, and no doubt it's having huge impact. So we'd like to explore in this episode how this is landing for the three of us at a personal level. What are we experiencing at this time? And no doubt when we publish this particular episode, things will have moved on already again. But let's just be with our experience as it is at the moment. And explore our experience through the lens of mindfulness, through the lens of deep listening, of respectful attention, of a desire and intention to understand what is occurring in the mind and in the body with a certain quality of benevolence and kindness, and most importantly, to bring a deep quality of being present, of presencing, of being right where we are, however we find ourselves. So as we move into this conversation and expand that to look a little bit about the relationship between this experience that we're going to explore and the nervous system, which at the moment is a very, very nervous system. How can this understanding of experience and the nervous system support us and orientate us to this practice? And how can the practice orientate us back to working more skillfully with our experience and working skillfully to regulate our nervous system? So that's the plan. Let's see how it goes. Why don't we take a few seconds wherever you are, whatever you're doing right now. And I can say, for most people, 99.9%, you won't be driving anywhere unless you are an essential service. But even if you do have, in fact, especially those who are driving somewhere, you don't have to go anywhere else. Wherever you are listening, you will notice that you are here. And just take a few precious moments to simply recognize how you're feeling in this moment. What is the quality of feeling or emotion? Even if it's really difficult. What's the quality of the mind? Is it very, very busy? Is it racing at high speed? Is it dull and lethargic? Is it trying to get away from this enormous new reality that we are all facing? How is it to be inside your body in this moment? Are there any sensations that are apparent? Now, you might have not noticed any of this. It might have just been a whiz and a whirl, and that's okay. Can you notice in this moment just that? A blur. Can you feel, if you're sitting down, your bum on the chair and the weight of the body coming down onto your sitting bones? Or if you're standing, can you feel the weight of your body coming down onto the soles of your feet, onto the earth, onto the ground? Just coming in and down and landing right where you are. We call where we are here and now. And if you'd like, taking a deep inhalation through the nose and slowly exhaling through the mouth. So, here we are, guys. Episode 2, following rapidly on the back of episode 1. And maybe we can just move straight into the subject of how are we doing? How are you experiencing this lockdown, day 4, as we are at the moment?
Yeah, Simon, I could do with more of the landing, the meditation that you've just done now, you've just guided now. I'm feeling really calm at this point, but I cannot say the same for the past 3 days. I've been feeling really anxious. I've been struggling to sleep. I've been overthinking. And yeah, it's been really hectic for me. And more so because of the news that are coming in. I noticed that I have a choice over what I consume, like the news that I watch. being on Twitter and also watching the news on TV. So I've been seeing a lot of news, and I've been hearing from a lot of my friends who are criticizing people from the townships for not staying inside. So that's been really frustrating for me, because for me, I see that as a disconnect. I'm seeing that it's very difficult for these friends of mine to connect to the reality of what's going on in the township, because most of the people who were still in the streets on day one and day two, it's people who only got paid a day after lockdown, and they had to do groceries, and they didn't have that privilege of shopping before the lockdown. And even if they did, with the stockpiling that was happening, we don't know how that would have played out. But I've just been very frustrated, and also the images coming down from the township with the military, the SANDF, and the police, the brutality that's happening on some of the videos. And for sure, we don't know how many of the videos are really true, how much of it is fake news, and how much of it is really happening. But all these images have been invoking some feeling inside, and it's feelings of frustration and also feelings of anxiety. So that's what has been up for me. Mm. For me personally, I'm sitting at home, I'm isolating, but there are people out there in the township where I was born who are struggling because they don't have access to basic things, just taxis. They were cut from, like, there was time that taxis could operate. So that meant that the queues were very long. And even going into shops, I heard that at ShopRite, it was only 10 people allowed at a time, and then people had to queue up. So, yeah, that's how I've been feeling, frustrated and anxious.
And Boy, can I check in, and as you narrate part of what has been moving through you over the last few days, if you just drop into how that, what you shared now, is landing and moving through you right in this moment, what is here for you now?
Right now, I'm still in touch, actually, with that frustration. And yeah, it's sort of something happening around my stomach area.
Thank you. Thanks for your sharing and offering that particular perspective on experience. Jana, do you want to pick up that theme?
Thank you for sharing, Mboyi. And yeah, it was interesting to hear you move from that moment just after the meditation that Simon led, where you were feeling calm, and then through telling your experience, reconnecting this frustration and this anger. And for me, that feels like a dynamic that I'm experiencing quite a lot as well, just as the days go on, because I'm finding it quite challenging to hold, on the one hand, this commitment to practicing mindfulness, practicing being here, practicing being in my breath, feeling myself landing. And I have incredible tools for myself to be able to do this, but then to also be open and awake to what is going on in the bigger picture, and how to hold that, how to move from the internal space where I feel it can be relieving to just stop thinking so much and re-enter the breath and re-soften my body and just arrive in presence, but then to also be engaged. It's a bit of a tension for me at the moment.
So you're feeling like the tension shows up in how, in what way, Yana?
I think part of me judges myself when I enter into the calm state of presence where it feels kind of like I disconnect from what's happening outside.
Mm.
But then I also know that it's not healthy for me to just be externally engaged and getting more and more anxious. So it does feel like that in itself, that movement from the inside to the outside is like a breath or a rhythm in the day.
Mm. So you're noticing judging arise when you kind of found yourself thinking outside. And I'm interested, what is the judgment, if you'd be willing to share? What is the judgment? How does that look like?
Judgment when I'm not feeling angry or feeling totally plugged into the stream of news, and when I'm not doing something about it, and when I just kind of suspend things and breathe in the present moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're feeling okay where you are, then the judging mind kicks in with some kind of thought. Can I guess here that it's got a should somewhere in it? Or a shouldn't?
Yes, for sure. I should be doing more, or maybe judging the fact that I can access stillness or calm.
Mbui?
It's interesting because for me, I catch myself shooting my friends.
What do you mean shooting? Tell everybody.
You just said should. Yeah, I catch myself saying my friends should not be judging people in the township for doing what they are doing, shopping very late in 3 days or 2 days into lockdown. So I catch myself judging my friends, actually. So it's like, as Yana is talking about herself, judging herself, for me, I catch myself judging my friends. And so I notice that judgment as well, and frustration. And I also notice that with more stuff that's coming on the news, I'm actually looking for clips to prove to my friends. I'm trying to find ways to make them understand what's going on. And the more they come across as if they don't understand, the more I judge them.
Mm. So something is already arising in just this early in our conversations, and it's absolutely central to the practice of mindfulness, is the quality of non-judging. And I know you both, and you're very deeply present human beings, and judging arises. And which is fantastic, you know. And I'm very much incorporating myself here. So judging arises, even though we're saying mindfulness, which is this quality of being present without judging, judgment arises, yeah. Mm-hmm. The judging, you call it the shoulding. Yeah, no?
Shoulding,
yeah. Yeah, shoulding.
Well, I'm just listening to you say this, Mbui, and also reflecting on my own judgments and peeling back. It almost can be reframed as stemming from your own love. It's from your own care that you're feeling the strong need to communicate something and share your perspective. And I think, the judging is also connected to a bigger feeling. And for myself as well, it's out of my own care, but sometimes I don't know what to do with that. So then it kind of turns into judgment because, how do I deal with this feeling of not knowing how to move with this immense amount of fear or sadness or uncertainty?
So how do we move with these very difficult feelings, and how do we come into a skillful way of relating to judging, which comes up in the mind, because you're both pointing to that which lies beneath the judgment, like concern or care or love or a desire to be in service or to help. So the fact of judging or the recognition of judging is incredibly important and valuable. The risk is not noticing that you're judging and becoming kind of caught up in it, in the shoulding or shouldn'ting.
Oh.
It seems to me that that it just comes up, the judging comes up. When you were both speaking, the image that came to my mind was, you know, that the two images actually. One was, for those of you who've taken an aeroplane flight, some of you would have not, but if you haven't, you know, they do a safety briefing at the beginning. You know, they say if the cabin depressurizes, in other words, if there's not enough pressure in the cabin, these oxygen masks are going to fall from the ceiling of the aeroplane. And the first thing you must do is put the oxygen mask on yourself and then help other people. I've got a medical equivalent, which is when you get called to do a resuscitation, you know, somebody's heart and is not working or they're not breathing, we get called to a resus or a resuscitation. So the first thing you must do when you get called to a resuscitation is take your own pulse. And which is similar ways of describing the same process. So both of you are inclining towards how are other people doing? Concern, care, love. I mean, I can relate very strongly. I feel like being called into service feels very natural for me, but I find myself at times being completely exhausted or overwhelmed or wondering, how can I do that? Or is it going to help sustain me and my family? Or am I just giving away my energy? And my mind starts to ruminate and worry that it's not enough or I can't sustain it. So I can relate very, very strongly to what you're both saying. But I'd like to maybe, it seems, and I just see if this lands for you, that the judging maybe takes you away from your own experience in some way. Like it pulls you up and out in a way, and the should and the shouldn't means how you are as a result of this care and concern, a desire to help, is not okay. Like, you know, can we actually drop beneath the judging and what's actually going on in our experience beneath the thought I should or I shouldn't or they shouldn't? Because the judgment is either of myself or it's of other people. They shouldn't or I shouldn't or they should. Or I should.
For me, the judging feeling in my body has got a much more solid and containing feeling. Like if I can be in a should, or I can be doing the should that is maybe self-imposed or from somewhere else, there's kind of a it's got a pointiness, and but if I look underneath that and I turn my attention towards maybe the feeling that it's coming out of, maybe a feeling of helplessness or a feeling of grief, that feels much more shapeless and scary. And I was reflecting this morning in a conversation with someone how my work before COVID and before lockdown has been to try and feel safe in myself to enter into feeling. But it feels almost like that work has been undone a little bit now, because there's so much uncertainty around me in the physical space, in the relational space with other people, that it doesn't feel like a very safe environment externally for me to now melt down. So there's like this very strong survival instinct, I think, that has kicked in at the moment, where I'm holding myself together. And in that, there's almost like this very should mentality keeping me moving and doing my things on my list and it's like quite an armored coping mechanism. Mm. Because it feels like I'm on my own at the moment because everyone is at sea.
Yeah, I can relate very strongly to that. I'm like, can I just speak to somebody who's not freaking out and who's got a handle on this, please? and where's that person? And it would be such a relief to just to be in contact with them. And of course, I'm reminded this time and that they're no experts on how to deal with a pandemic. Other than our ancestors who survived pandemics, but you know, we might have their imprint in our epigenetics, in our DNA, and in our brain material. But our conscious experience, even to a degree, our unconscious experience, nobody is an expert on any of this. So we are kind of in this uncertainty. I'm very curious for us to just take that next step in, because this article that I quoted in the beginning and says, well, it's really difficult for human beings to be with themselves for 6 minutes or 15 minutes, let alone for 3 weeks. Or if this goes on, which I've no doubt it will, for 6 weeks or 9 weeks or 12 weeks. So we're being asked to go inside, to stay inside homes and buildings and so forth. But clearly, it's not that easy. So it's wonderful to have a nice meme that comes around on WhatsApp, and it's got a nice little animation of somebody sitting in the full lotus position. But we know the reality is quite different. So, So going inside is the invitation. Yet it seems that judgment is one of the things that gets in the way of going inside. And difficult feelings and emotions are the other thing. I'm sure there's more that make it difficult to go inside. I don't know if that feels true, if I'm summarizing your experience accurately. Yeah.
It definitely rings true.
Mm. So how do we then work with that skillfully? Because, you know, we can riff on, look, it's so difficult, so like, why bother? But here we are. Talking about mindfulness, so can mindfulness be in service here?
So for me, I noticed that there is a resistance going when I have to go inside. So just scheduling a sitting time, like time for sitting and meditating, I noticed sometimes that there's a resistance because sometimes it's not nice. Sometimes it's nice, sometimes it's not nice. There are those times when I feel sleepy. There are those times when I start thinking about other things to do. And sometimes it can bring about uncomfortable feelings, especially I notice if my practice is consistent when closer to the fifth or the sixth day, when I'm used to it, it just becomes too silent because I'm used to the practice, so it's easy for me to just go into the silent space. So I notice feelings of discomfort, and I try not to think about why am I feeling uncomfortable right now, because there's always an answer. So for me, there's always an answer, like I associate silence with something is wrong in the household where I grew up. So if I came home and my aunt was not saying anything, she was just silent for, let's say, 10 minutes or so, and I was coming from school, I would associate that with maybe I did something wrong.
Right.
And the next thing is that she's going to shout at me. So there's that association to silence. So I notice myself resisting meditation because I'm scared of going into those places of silence, which I associate with discomfort, which are uncomfortable, actually.
Right. So you're starting to point us towards something, Mbui, which is starting to create some kind of structure that's helpful. And within that structure, your experience is varied. Sometimes you can drop into silence or quiet. Sometimes you get pulled into feelings and thoughts, which are very disruptive and difficult. but some kind, you know, you can't, if you build a building, you have to have scaffolding to build a building. You can't build a building without scaffolding. So scaffolding to a building is like structure to a practice. And I know, Jana, you had some very valuable insights around that for yourself when before we started recording around structure. I wonder if you'd share some of that for the purposes of this part of the discussion.
Yeah, so I think for all of us, our structures that we're used to have drastically either dissolved or changed form. And for myself, I've been finding it very helpful to make small commitments, achievable commitments in my day that give some kind of calibration to the open space. So having my morning practice and sometimes even connecting with others through that. So using the technology like Skype or Zoom as we're using now to share in that practice with other people, to have a phone call with someone, but a proper one where we sit down and we talk for an hour, and like we're really giving that presence to each other. And for me, why I say maybe other people build this into their day normally, but my reaction to my own anxiety is to kind of move out of contact with people and to contract into hyper doing mode. So I almost escape all my feelings in that way. And so it's come to my awareness that yes, I've been doing that a bit. I've been pushing away like conversations and phone calls, but again, in the same phone call that I was referred to earlier, I was talking to someone this morning and realizing that it's actually in the contact that it can be easier for me to really feel what's going on. So maybe even as a step before doing a personal practice, which I agree, Mbui, can be quite difficult and uncomfortable at a time like this when, yeah, there's so much up. So then to maybe find containers with other people where I can unpack what's going on and express how I'm feeling and enter into that softer space I was talking about earlier, and try and articulate even for myself what's being felt.
Okay, so you we're kind of leaning into ways of managing what is happening, creating, let's call it a microstructure. It doesn't have to be like every day, every moment of every day is like taken care of, because that becomes hyper busyness, which actually is just plain exhausting and unsustainable, given that we're in a marathon now, not a sprint. And part of within that microstructure is to orientate attention inward, and sometimes we come up against resistance, or to orientate attention outward to other people, whether that's somebody who you're living with in the same building or the same house or dwelling, or through some other medium like WhatsApp or Skype or whatever you have access to. But the common denominator is making contact.
Yeah.
Making contact. Because it seems to me that the making contact and the quality of making contact is what makes the difference. So the article and our experience is saying, hey, this is really difficult. And, you know, that article was in 2014. You know, 2014 was this like the halcyon days of 2014. How we long for 2014. I have no idea what was happening in 2014. However, 2014 is not 2020. It's like something unimaginable. So if it was difficult then, and it was difficult 200 years ago, because that research was based on a famous quote by Blaise Pascal, a French philosopher. So all men's, and meaning people's, all men's problems could be solved if we could learn to sit quietly by ourselves in a room for 15 minutes. He said that in the 19th century. I think it was the 19th century. Now we add the kind of depth of distress and complexity and uncertainty and helplessness in the middle of a pandemic. And now we're being asked to sit by, you know, go inside. And so the common denominator is this quality of making contact. And the way to make contact is first to realize that there is resistance to making contact. Because our nervous systems are nervous. You know, our nervous systems are our brain and our spinal cord and our nerves that go out into our organs and what we call autonomic. And all these nerves, they're just like everywhere. And they come out of the brain, and the brain itself is metabolizing things from inside the body and outside in the environment. And because of what is coming in and what we're thinking, the nervous system is super nervous, you know, and we call that stress. Stress nervous system, a nervous nervous system. And without going into all the details of, you know, what happens in the micro detail, but often when, you know, when we are nervous, or the nervous system is nervous, you know, we either get very angry or we get very scared. And that is built into our systems. You know, we call that fight or flight. When you are scared, when I am scared, my brain says flee, and I'll flee if I'm scared. And that's a way of get away from something that is a threat to me. And if I get enraged and very angry, then I'll fight it. Now, what do we do with so that's fight or flight, which we call the stress response. Now, what do we do if it's a microorganism, a virus, which is invisible? Like, how do you fight or flee from something you can't even see? So mostly our fight or flight is on something we can't even imagine unless you're a virologist. But the reaction is happening because of what it represents. It represents this quality of, like, we don't know what's going on and we don't know what's happening and so forth. But I wonder, you know, what happens if you can't get angry or you can't run anywhere? Then the next step down is to just go paralyzed or freeze. We call this the freeze response. And the freeze response is when we start to feel helpless. There's nothing I can do. It's completely, and there's a tremendous, I'm feeling this hugely at the moment. There's so much helplessness in my own mind and in my perception and in everybody else, because they're no experts. We're like desperately looking around for somebody to give us ground on which we can stand, and the helplessness keeps surging forward.
And for you, Simon, when you feel helplessness, which you've linked to the freeze response, how does it show up? Do you kind of literally freeze?
I semi-freeze. I go into, there's an Afrikaans word called a dwaal. It's just like, I'm sort of here, but I'm not really. I'm zoned out. My mind's a blank, but not in a good way. And I'm just staring off into space. Mm. I can't really feel my body. I feel quite disconnected from, not quite, I feel completely disconnected from myself and from my family and from everything. It feels very protective in a sense. It's like, oh, what a relief in a certain way. So that's it. And then I suddenly, you know, and it's happened quite a lot. And then I suddenly come to, you know, I wake up. In that moment, I was like, oh. And then this thing of judging is so important. Like, if I cannot judge that, if I'm just, oh, that's where I've been. I've just been like zoned out. Oh, I understand. I've gone into a freeze response. Oh, I understand that's because I've been feeling helpless and overwhelmed. Then the benevolence and the care that sits beneath the judgment is now available. Not to do anything with, but to accept that that's how I'm feeling. To recognize and realize that, of course, I'll go into freeze. Of course, I feel helpless and overwhelmed. Who wouldn't? But if all that is happening, I'm feeling helpless and overwhelmed, then my desire, like your strong desires for both of you to be in service, to be full of care and to communicate and to support and help in whatever you can, is not possible. Yes. So that's what I'm noticing about the freeze. I'm also noticing the fight flight very strongly. Like, I'm very quick to get irritated. And I want to like find the kind of quietest corner in my home and just kind of like hunker down or pull the duvet over my head until this is all. And so these are states of the nervous system. Yeah. That are in response to like this underlying feeling of overwhelm and hopelessness. And I love how what is emerging in this conversation is and where we started this is around when we're all noticing the self-judgment or the judgment of others. And like maybe that is something that's just spontaneously, organically emerging as the insight here is, if you can't go outside, go inside, and what will get in the way is judgment. Judgment yeah. of yourself and judgment of others, the shoulding and the shouldn'ting, and landing in our feelings and our bodies means we're going to encounter the stress responses, and of course we will. And then, how can we be in a quality relationship in that moment with those responses? Mm-hmm. Can we come into there's a really amazing teacher named Pema Chodron. She's an American who now lives in Canada, and she's a nun, and she's been a nun for most of her life, and an amazing teacher. And she speaks about a plane of contact. So if you imagine one finger coming towards the other finger, and then they just make contact momentarily, he calls that a momentary plane of contact. So it feels like we all in being invited into a momentary plane of contact with our nervous system. And without the judging, we can just like acknowledge this is unbelievably difficult beyond anything we could imagine.
And unknown and unresolvable. So for me, part of what came up when you were speaking about judgment is that it's not just that there's a clear judgment for me. It's that there's so many, and it's like a tangled knot. And so I end up feeling really confused. And so that's also what I'm sort of not wanting to make contact with, or it's not easy to make contact with, a feeling of confusion.
So as you said, We could spend days just talking about all the things we don't want to make contact with right now. But let's remember that the mindfulness, maybe most people don't know this, or it's so easy to forget, it's momentary contact. It's just where you are in the here and now. So that's its own particular work. It's not forevermore. It's not for, you know, like, oh my God, I'm going to have to make contact with my anger or my fear. What about now? And Bui, you've spoken previously about the incredible value and challenge of carving out time to meditate and how valuable that is for you. So I wonder if you can speak to that, and if you would be willing to just guide us all in a short practice of sitting meditation, just to ground what we've been speaking about in some formal mindfulness practice.
Yeah, and as this topic of judgment has been unfolding, I'm just thinking about what Byron Katie says. I don't know if you are aware of who she is.
Yeah, I do know her.
Yeah.
Maybe you could tell the listeners briefly.
Yeah, so she's got this inquiry that she does. She does things called turnarounds. She's an American woman. who actually helps people turn their thoughts, uncomfortable thoughts around, limiting thoughts and limiting beliefs around. And she talks about arguing with reality. And I noticed that in my judgment, that actually in those moments, it's when I'm arguing with what's really happening. And it can actually be an opportunity to just check in what's happening right now. And it's helpful for me because whenever I'm able to catch myself, I'm able to say what's happening right now. So I'm going to invite everyone to, if you are listening to this, you can close your eyes if you feel comfortable. And if you don't feel comfortable, you can just keep your eyes open, but maintaining a soft gaze. Ungawavala amehlo. Kuba ukwazi wavala, ungawavula nje kancinci. And when you are comfortable, you can take a deep breath in. Xa ulungele, ungathatha umphefumlo ongena ngaphakathi. Taking the deep breath through your nose. Uphefumlela ngaphakathi ezimpumlweni. And breathing out through your mouth. Uphefumlele ngaphandle usebenzisa umlomo. Then taking your time, repeating the same breathing exercise. Deep breath in through your nose. And out through your mouth. Uphinda phinda. Uphefumlela ngaphakathi ezimpumlweni. Uphefumlele ngaphandle ngomlomo. Taking your time. Just checking in with your body as well. What's happening? And checking in around the stomach area and the chest as you are doing this breathing exercise. Deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. Balekile ujonga kwenzeka ntoni esiswini nasesifubeni xa kuphefumlela ngaphakathi naxa uphefumlela ngaphandle. And when you are ready, you can open your eyes if they were closed. Ngawavula amehlo akho ukuba ibevaliwe.
Thank you, Mbui. Of course, Gakulu. So this comes to, brings us, should I say, to the end of our podcast episode. What is so striking for me is that it went in its own direction. Mm-hmm. just as we didn't plan, the perfect plan is the one that emerges. And so maybe we can just do a brief checkout. And if there's something you'd like to offer as something that you're finding useful, very briefly, whoever's listening. So I'm feeling really centered in this moment. Although I'm aware that my upper body, especially my shoulders and my neck, are quite tight and stiff. And my suggestion or tip is to feel my feet on the floor or my bum on the chair in as many moments as I can and in as many moments as I remember to. And maybe you could try that too. Yana?
I'm feeling calm. And really happy to have had this time with both of you, because it feels like a little community in the big sea. And I am learning a lot through both of your reflections. And so for me, something that I take from this conversation, which I'd like to integrate as I move forward, is the felt experience through the practices that we did now together, the felt experience of coming into contact being so much less terrifying than my mind tends to think it will be. And that actually what I felt right from that starting practice of landing is a huge amount of relief, because it feels like it takes so much energy to resist being here now. And so I'd like to remember that. Yeah.
So I'm feeling calm and grounded. And I'm really grateful for this recording, because, it didn't occur to me that we'd end up talking about judgment. And, it's just a reminder to me that there's always an opportunity to be kind to myself and towards others as well. So that compassion, is always there. And maybe when I'm experiencing judgment, or when I'm judging others, I'm not aware of it at that time. And just by pausing and checking in with what's happening right now, I can access it. It's there. I can be in touch with it. I can notice that I'm actually arguing with reality right now.
So we would love if you share this podcast with your friends, with your family, with your colleagues, if you have found it helpful. The more support we get to moving this out into the world, the more it serves to diffuse mindfulness in a way and make it accessible. You can subscribe to the podcast on the platform that you're using. And as I mentioned in our first episode, we are very open to feedback. We are learning speedily and exponentially how to become podcasters, how to make this most useful. So you can drop your feedback to lynne@mindfulness.org.za, lynne@mindfulness.org.za. Until we meet again, may you find moments of ease amidst your day. Thank you for listening.